It's a wonderful blessing to be your speaker here this morning. I ask all of you to bear with me. I've been dealing with a little bit of a respiratory infection and an ear infection, and it feels like I've been getting hit with it all this week. But I'm very excited to be able to come and teach another portion of the Word this morning. You know, leading up to the Friday evening of this past week, I'd been working on a study about Christian attitudes. And I had all intention of teaching that this morning, but I just didn't feel like it was finished. And a lot of times as humans, we lose faith in our own judgment. Sometimes we want everything to be perfect. And so as I began studying more and more about Christian attitudes, I noticed that there was a common trend with belief and confidence and being able to have a lot of faith, not only in yourself, but in God. This morning, I want to start by reading from Genesis, the 5th chapter. I want to read, the 5th chapter. I'm going to start in the 10th chapter, verse 1. Again, Genesis 10 and verse 1. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah began Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and that they were fair. And they took them wives of all of which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. We understand that Noah had a very important role to play in the Old Testament. His role was to be the vessel that God had chose to continue mankind. But it was through Noah's faith and through his belief in not only God, but himself, to go through with this action. This morning, we want to focus a lot on faith and belief and how we can have that belief and faith in ourselves, but also maintain a faith in God. Before we go any further, we have a wonderful opportunity to go to God in a word of prayer. So we ask everyone to humble themselves in some manner as we do so. I remember growing up, every day we would watch the news in the evening, the local news station. Then shortly after that, the world news would come on. And I always enjoyed seeing the weather and seeing all the things that were going on locally and around the world. Recently, within the last few years, every morning I'll get up before I go to work and I'll turn on, you know, ABC, and then usually in the evenings I'll turn on. I've gotten to where I don't enjoy it much anymore. Doesn't seem to be good news anywhere. We see a lot of the issues with the rallies that happen across the country where violence is being demonstrated, people are being murdered and killed, and there's not a lot of good news anymore. There's not much to really turn on and get enjoyment out of, at least from my perspective. Now, I'm no expert in media or news coverage, but I just don't look forward to it. But we do have a promise of good news. In the New Testament, Jesus brings us all good news that we can have faith in, and we can turn our attention to every day and every moment in our life. And I've learned to appreciate that. Appreciate that, and when I get up, maybe instead of turning on the television, enjoy the good news that has been given to us for decades and centuries now. As Christians, we must remain faithful to this good news. We must be strong and confident in what the Word tells us and understand the truth behind it. We read a little bit describing Noah, and this morning I hope that I can pull from some of Noah's examples and a few others that I've chosen, of the faith that he held. This morning, I want to read just a little bit from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and this is the great book on faith. I want to focus on the first three verses here for a moment, where the Bible says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, this is the Bible's definition of faith. Very similar to how when we are in school or in our everyday lives, if we don't understand a word, we look it up in a dictionary. And this is the Bible giving us the definition of the type of faith that Christians should have today. So the question is, what is faith? It's a belief in something that you cannot see, or proof with a it's faith in something, or in proof of physical evidence, which we don't necessarily have. It also applies to past, present, and future. You see, being faithful, we must have faith in things that happened many years ago. We must have faith in the way that we live our lives today is according to the way that Christ wants us to live them. And we also must have faith in the future and the great things to come in our lives going forward. The Bible then says in Hebrews 11, verse 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh." And this is a very strong passage in one simple verse to understand. That Abel's faith in God allowed him to maintain and continue doing the right things according to what God had asked. However, by doing this, it cost him his life. Now the Bible then goes on to tell us in this verse that being dead, he yet speaketh. Now, I don't want to get too far off into left field with this, but I tend to believe that your reputation and your popularity and what people know you by in this life will follow you long after your life is over. For instance, many times whenever we go to a funeral or we hear of someone's passing, there's so many great things to say about that person. They're good qualities. Oh, this gentleman was a loving man and would do give you the shirt off his back. Or this young lady was so humble and would comfort you. It's important to understand that the life we live today leaves us with a reputation for those that follow us. The example, the stamp that we put on their lives is also very important. But that comes with a bit of faith. We have to have faith in ourselves and the work that we are doing, that it will continue to help those and many others around us. Many times we question ourselves in our decision making. We question the things that we do. Maybe our faith is tested. But as long as there is a Christian root behind it, as long as there is a motive behind the decisions we make based on the Bible and the good news, then we shall prosper and allow our example to shine through the world to go. In the fifth verse of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." In verse 6 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It's a very powerful scripture to understand that it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. There are many teachers in the world today and many different beliefs, and they all try to base their belief on the New Testament. However, there are many flaws in a lot of the teachings that you hear from the false doctrines of the world. One of my favorite things to do when it comes to the Word is I like to find scriptures where there is no loophole. There is no question about it. There is no fine line. There is no straddling the fence on these scriptures. And this is one of them. It uses the word impossible. Now, if I tell you something's impossible, there's no need to test it. We know that it's impossible. Now, my word might not be as validated as others, and I might not be as experienced when it comes to being a mechanic and saying this is impossible, or when it comes to being a cook and saying it's impossible to get something a certain way. But when it comes from God's Word, and He says it is impossible to please Him, understand that that's true. We must be faithful Christians. A lot of times our faith can be tested by things we may go through testimonies of others. Sometimes our faith can be tested by the world around us and the sin that lives within it. But we must understand, without that faith, it is impossible to please God. In Hebrews 11th chapter, we read about some great men and women of faith throughout the Bible. That chapter reminds us that God has led in the lives of other people in the past, and He is willing to lead our lives today when we show faith in Him. This morning, we talked a little bit about Noah, and I want to just read a few things that I had written down about Noah. It says, I wrote, when God saw the wickedness of mankind, He decided to start over with Noah. The Bible says that Noah found favor in God's eyes because he lived right and feared God. Now, I want to touch on that just for a moment about how important it is to fear God and to fear God for the right reasons. We need to understand that God loves us. And a few weeks ago, I remember Dennis taught a little bit on fear and how important it is to understand fear. But when God came to Noah, He explained to Noah that He was going to destroy the wickedness of man. Now imagine that. If today someone was to approach you, or God was to approach you and say He was going to destroy mankind, but it was your duty to save you and your family. That's a very scary idea. It's something to be afraid of. But the light at the end of the tunnel is to understand that God has chosen you to restore the order. He has chosen Noah in this instance. Now, another thing to be afraid of is that's a heavy burden to bear for Noah. Noah could have easily shook his head and said, it's too much. He could have easily said, no, I can't handle this. But that's not what he did. He remained faithful. Noah was asked by God to build an ark, which surely took a lot of faith. It must have been even harder when God told him he would have to wait 120 years for the flood to happen. Noah preached faithfully, trying to convince others that judgment was coming. And God spared Noah and his family along with the animals on the ark. Noah and his family had faith in God's word, and they obeyed. As Christians today, we must have faith in God's word, and we must also obey. We can't sacrifice those two things. We cannot. Being obedient and being faithful, you can't sacrifice them. You can't put them aside for a moment to go and enjoy something that is contrary to what the word of God says. As I get older, I learn more and more and more about the Bible. Matter of fact, I remember how scary it was becoming a Christian and hoping not to mess up. And it's not a realistic idea. The truth is, we grow individually every day. Wisdom is not something that you obtain through education. Wisdom is not something you can just instantly have as a young man or a young woman. It is something you must strive for daily. Be open-minded, willing to learn, willing to understand, and learn from those before you. Noah had that wisdom. Noah had that wisdom because of faith and obedience. And that faith and obedience allowed him to continue and be faithful to the end. Another example that I'd like to use this morning as far as faith, and a great example for all of us, is Abraham. Abraham is often considered the father of faith. God called Abraham to leave his country and start a new nation. From the family of Abraham, God would bless the earth, and this ultimately came in the form of Jesus Christ. Abraham could not understand at the time how God would bless the world through him and his family, but he trusted God. He trusted God to lead him to where he was supposed to go. Now, as Christians today, we must have that same trust. Remember, Hebrews tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That makes a lot of sense. We're all hopeful in the idea of heaven. We've never seen it. We don't know what it looks like in detail to the point where we can have a visual image and that be it. But we're hopeful that it exists. We're faithful that it is there and it's obtainable. We're also hopeful of the return of Christ. We're hopeful. We pray. We don't doubt. We have faith in it. Abraham had a very similar incident. As faithful as he was, Abraham is noted in the Bible for his faith, particularly as it relates to him leaving his home in Ur to travel west. He is mentioned in Romans 4 and in Hebrews 11 because of the faith it took to follow God's leading. However, his faith was greatly tested in Genesis 22. And that's what I really want to draw from Abraham this morning. In Genesis 22, it says, "And it came to pass these things that God did tempted Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offered him there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Now, I say this all the time, and it's kind of beating a dead horse, that I'm not a father, and I couldn't understand the conditions of this request. I couldn't. I can imagine, and even standing here not having children, I don't know how anyone could go through with this. I don't know how you could even be asked to complete this task and not immediately say no. How hard must it have been for Abraham to do this? How hard of a decision to make, to even contemplate this? It must be a really odd situation to be in. Because aside from the task that was requested, it's not just coming from anyone. It's coming from God. Now that is a bridge that I hope that I'm never asked to cross. That is a tough task to have faith in. Of course, we know what happens. Abraham takes Isaac up. He binds him. And as he goes to begin the sacrifice, the Lord stops him because of his faith. Because of his belief in him. It's a strong thing to understand that God trusts us. He loves us. He's encouraged by us. It says that when one soul is saved, that all the angels in heaven rejoice. When one person commits their life to faithfulness and obedience, that all the angels rejoice. That's a great thought to think of. That God cares so much about us individually, and He cares so much about our faith, and He wants us to believe, and He wants us to hold on to that hopefulness that is mentioned in Hebrews 11. Individually. It's not a thing that is just blanketed over. And if one person is affected differently, that he doesn't care. He does. It requires our faith, though. The last example I want to use this morning comes from Matthew, the 14th chapter. We'll start in verse 24. Again, Matthew 14, verse 24. And this is a very common scripture to me, and I'm sure to many others. The Bible says there, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto the water." Now before I get to the last part of this scripture, I want to stop there and kind of have a good understanding of what Peter is saying to Christ. Now this morning we did not live in the days that Jesus walked on water. That's apparent. We did not see this. And sometimes it's hard for people to believe because they can't back it up with evidence and proof that it's possible. There's a lot of people that doubt that a man can walk on water. His buoyancy is not that great. But when you think about the faith of this world, that so many people believe in things in this book, but they wouldn't believe in something like this. They wouldn't believe in the Virgin Mary. But they would believe in Noah's Ark and that great deed that was done. They would believe in Moses parting the Red Sea and that great accomplishment through God that was made. There are many people in this world today, believe it or not, that do not believe that Christ is the Son of God, but do hold tight to the faith of the things of the Old Testament. As Christians, we must take it all and believe it all. We cannot pick and choose. We cannot decide what we want to take home and study. We cannot say, okay, this is good enough for me, but this is not. We cannot sacrifice our modesty. We cannot sacrifice our commitment to God. We cannot sacrifice the laws that He's laid down for us because it's inconvenient. We must be willing to take it all. And we see here it says, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou. Now that's your first indicator that his faith is in question. It's a what if statement. If it's really you, Lord, for starters, I can imagine living in that time how unusual Jesus would have been. Living in a world where everyone else was normal compared to, you know, those standards. And this man that's come into your life, that can do all these wonderful things that are, there is no explaining it. But after all he has done for Peter, Peter still questions him. Peter's faith is still being tested. He says, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now think of this in the form of a meter. A meter that shows faith. We realize that Peter's faith is being tested when he said, if it be thou. So it's all empty. His meter's depleted. But the moment he stepped out and his feet found surface on the water and his balance was restored and it didn't pull him under, his faith meter is full. There's no doubting it. He feels great. He can't believe it, but his faith in Christ is at an all-time high. Not only is he seeing it, not only does he have proof of it, but experiencing it firsthand, he's looking at Christ as he does it. As Christians today, we don't have that luxury. Again, Hebrews 11 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, not experienced, not a part of. Our faith is based on these few scriptures. On this book, our faith is based on that. It then goes and says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Even though Peter had all of the tools and all of the proof and all of the evidence and everything that he could have possibly needed to believe that Christ was the Son of God, a little bit of wind and a storm scared him. That's all. That's all it took for him to doubt. That's all it took for him to be disobedient. That's all it took for him to lose his faith. It wasn't some massive tragedy or loss in his life. It wasn't something that he felt was unfair. It was the wind, the actual wind, that caused him to lose faith. And Christ let him know that. As Christians today, we must understand that we can't let something as small as the wind, or anything for that matter, test our faith. We cannot allow the world and sin and the devil himself to win us over by the things that happen to us day in and day out. Nor can we allow the thought of not physically being able to prove or see or have, you know, whatever it is you need in your hands in front of you to believe that Christ is the Son of God. It requires faith. Again, the Bible tells us that it is impossible. In Hebrews 11, chapter verse 6, it is impossible to please Him without faith. In closing this morning, I know it's been a rather short sermon, and I hope that you can forgive me for that. But in closing, I want everyone to understand that it's not easy to be faithful. It's not. It's not. And for anyone that tells you that it is easy, they're wrong. You may have friends that don't worship God correctly or don't go to service or don't think that it's true or that He's real. And they may have convincing stories to try to convince you. And you may really think they're a great person. And that may cause you to question your faith. You may have experienced something in a congregation with an individual that claims to be a member of the church or claims to be an upstanding person, but come to find out they did something horrible. That may cause you to question your faith. Or you yourself may do something that you never thought was possible that may cause you to question your faith. One of the hardest things that I've ever heard and tried to explain to someone was when they told me they didn't believe in God, and I began to try to talk to them, and as I started getting to the root of the issue, they said it was because they had a child that they lost at a very, very young age. And they could not believe in a God that would take something so precious away from them. That was an uphill battle. It's a very tough, tough thing to go through. And I can imagine your faith being tested very seriously in that moment. So as Christians today, when we face these small things that may make us question our faith, remember, there's always somebody else out there going through something much more difficult. And this morning, I ask if you're one that is here and may have gained faith or you want to become a member of the Lord's church, don't let a moment pass you by. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you must first hear the Word of God. Believe it. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be baptized in a watery grave of baptism. If you're here this morning, you are a Christian and your faith has been tested, and you need the prayers for church, please come forward and make those requests known as we sing.